Our God, we once again come to you in your home, your house. We seek to worship you in song, and we seek to worship you in the word. We glory in your sacred name, Father. We humble ourselves. We ask that you would have mercy on each one, as we are merely sinners, we are merely mortals. But yet we seek to please you, O Father. And Lord, we ask that you would anoint the lips of clay, that this morning your word would go forth in a way that pleases you, in a way that touches the hearts of those that you wish to speak to. And we ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
When I was trying to figure out how should I title this sermon for this morning, I quickly realized that a question would be better than a statement this time. And that question this morning is, who is this King? Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 24, verses 8 and 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Is God your King this morning? Psalm 74:12 says, "Yet God my King is from old, working salvation in the midst of the earth." Do you completely trust this King? Psalm 31:14 and 15 says, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand." This King hears our cries for mercy. Psalm 31:22. This King, the covenant Lord, rules from heaven. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all of the inhabitants of the earth. Psalm 33:13 and 14. His eye is on his elect, and his ear is open to their cry. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. Psalm 34:15. This King fights for his elect children. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Psalm 35:1. The grateful heart of the truly saved person cries out, "All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you?" Psalm 35:10. This King is the absolute sovereign ruler of the universe. The great El, the Creator God, the Ancient of Days. When he speaks, a thousand thunders pound through the universe, and creatures upon earth run from the sound. This great King is the Father of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of his adopted elect ones, and only they know him as such. The truly regenerate person longs with passionate, desperate longing for their King. O Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. Psalm 38:9. Andrew Murray said, "The longing desire after Christ and God and heaven breaks all our worldly bonds and raises us out of the miseries of time into the riches of eternity." The one who knows this King as Father quietly rests securely in the midst of even the darkest night. The unbelieving only know terror when they think of this King and his power. Do you know this King? The secure believer says, along with the psalmist, "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me." Psalm 42:8. The adopted children of this great King say, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill." Psalm 43:3. This King's throne is forever. In Psalm 45:6, the sons of Korah sing, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. The person who does not know this King, this God of glory, should truly be terrified. He is completely sovereign over all things and knows the secret thoughts of each person on earth. Nothing of any kind is hidden from His sight. Would God not discover this? For He knows the secrets of the heart, Psalm 44:21. It would be terrifying for you not to know the King in whose realm you live, but an unspeakable horror for that same King to say to you, "I do not know you. You are not one of my subjects." This great King is also the judge of all, as we read in Psalm 7:11. God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. In the Apocalypse, the book we know in English as the Revelation, in chapter 11, verse 15, loud voices in heaven declare, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." This Christ is the King of which we speak this morning. From the very grasp of the gaping shaft that leads to hell's terrors, "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol," Psalm 49:15. This King is also a consuming fire. We read in Hebrews 12:28-29, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Who is this King? Jesus is the King of truth. In John 18:37, we come in on a conversation between Pilate and our Lord. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" According to the great London preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, our Lord's claim to royalty must have sounded very singular in Pilate's ear. Jesus was doubtlessly very much careworn, sad, and emaciated in appearance. If you had taken some poor ragged creature in the street and said to him, "Are you a king then?" the question could scarcely have been more sarcastic. Pilate in his heart despised the Jews as such. But here was a poor Jew, persecuted by his own people, helpless and friendless. It sounded like a mockery to talk of a kingdom in connection with him. Yet never earth saw a truer king. Is this King the King who reigns over your life this morning? The true subjects of King Jesus bow before Him daily in their hearts, their souls, and their way of life. Flesh is not the king of their homes. The ways of the world are not king in their home. Relationships are not king in their home. Entertainment, including television, is not king in their home. Philosophies of the world system are not king in their home. Religious sentimentality is not king in their home. The demons who hate Christ are not king in their home. Fear is not king in their home. Alcohol is not king in their home. Drugs are not king in their home. Worldly music is not king in their home. You will only find the Spirit of God reigning over every single facet of life in their home and the study of sacred scripture and the spirit of prayer. If you are letting the world saturate your home instead of this King of which we speak this morning, you are an imposter and a false disciple. If you are sitting on a fence, hoping that fence will magically uproot itself and plant itself somewhere on this King's land while you remain seated on it, you will sit on that fence until you slide right into hell. This King of which we speak this morning is King of the sanctuary of the house of God. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last. between them virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are Israel's fountain. Psalm 68, 24 through 31. In far too many churches, sanctuaries today, far too many sanctuaries and churches today, this king, his majesty, that we would certainly call him, has not been invited inside. In many cases, for many years, if the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Glory, is not allowed to reign in the worship in song and the worship in the word or preaching, then that sanctuary is a godless sanctuary, a place where the head of the church, Christ, has basically been told, sorry, we don't need you here. The sanctuary is not the place for tired, worn out, theologically empty songs and choruses. The sanctuary is not the place for imitating what the lost, corrupt world is doing. The sanctuary of a church where Christ is truly honored will be considered a holy, sanctified place, both before and during the worship service on the Lord's Day. If you saw King Jesus' throne in the sanctuary of your church, would you be gathered in little huddles gossiping about fellow church members behind their backs? I think not. If you saw his throne there, would you stand around talking and laughing about your favorite source of entertainment that just entertains your flesh? I think not. Watchman Nee tells us, in Old Testament times, there were hundreds of tents in the camp of Israel, but there was one tent quite different from all the rest. In the common tents, you could do just as you pleased. Eat or fast, work or rest, be joyful or sober, noisy or silent. But that other tent was a tent that commanded reverence and awe. You might move in and out of the common tents, talking noisily and laughing gaily, but as soon as you neared that special tent, you instinctively walked more quietly. And when you stood right before it, you bowed your head in solemn silence. No one could touch it with impunity. If man or beast dared to do so, death was the sure penalty. What was so very special about it, this tent? It was the temple of the living God. This tent bared little unusual things about it. Didn't look that unusual, the tent itself, for it was outwardly a very ordinary material. But what made it different was the great God had chosen to make it his abode, that sanctified and made holy that special tent. This king is the everlasting king. Yet God, my king, is from old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Yours is the day, yours also is the night. You have established the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter, Psalm 74, 12, 16. The king we speak of this morning has also saved the elect. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High, their Redeemer, Psalm 78, 35. This king knows and sympathizes with our weaknesses, displayed in our behavior, but still demands holiness from us. O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Psalm 69, verse 5. The grateful heart of the elect saint who knows this king will humbly rely on him for all their strength and comfort. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will receive me. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. Psalm 73, 23 through 25. This king of whom we speak delights in his adopted children. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, Psalm 35, 8. Salvation is only for those he has chosen and redeemed by his hand. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, Psalm 85, 9. Listen to the prayer of a devout Puritan to his king, the Lord. When I come into thy presence, I see the glory of thy perfections, the throne of eternal and universal empire, the 10,000 times 10,000 who minister to thee. Impress my mind with the consciousness of thy greatness, not to drive me from thee, but to inspire me to approach thee. Thou hast been mindful of me and visited me, taken charge of me from my birth, cared in all conditions for me, fed me at thy table, drawn the curtains of love around me, given me new mercies every morning. I grieve to think how insensible I have been of the claims of your authority. This king is sovereign over time and the lifespans of men. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Psalm 90:1-4. Elect believers are owned by this king. John Calvin said, "We are God's. Let us therefore live for him and die for him. We are God's. Let his wisdom and will rule all our actions. We are God's. Let all the parts of our life accordingly strive toward him as our only lawful goal." This God of which we speak this morning is the incomparable secure shelter for those who belong to him. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shelter of the Almighty. I say to the Lord, "My refuge, my God in whom I trust." Psalm 91:1-2. An unbeliever can lay no rightful claim to such shelter by the Most High. This king is majestically attired. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. Psalm 93:1-2. This king dwells in a place that human imagination cannot fathom. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. Psalm 97:1-4. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. Psalm 99:1. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered through all generations. Psalm 102:2. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment. Psalm 104:1-2. It is this king who condescended to send his only cherished son to earth to redeem those whom the Father had already given him. Jesus, speaking in prayer to his Father in John chapter 17, said to his Father, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." This king has the most important name in all created realms. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 8:1. This king intimately receives and cares for his elect ones. "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." Psalm 17:5. From his temple he hears my voice, and my cry to him reaches his ears. Psalm 18:6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Psalm 20, verse 6. And what are these? What is this king's requirements for those believers who would serve him? The scriptures tell us that as well. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Psalm 24, 3 through 5. And finally, this king chose to condescend to redeem those whom he gave to his son. A.A. Hodge of the Old Princeton Seminary said, "Since all men alike deserved only God's wrath and curse, the gift of his only begotten son to die in the stead of malefactors, as the only possible method of expiating their guilt, is the most stupendous exhibition of undeserved favor and personal love that the universe has ever witnessed." If you are not a subject of this king this morning, why in God's name would you not want to be? Why would you prefer to spend your brief life on earth serving a vastly inferior God? You cannot and must not hesitate on this question. I promise you, you will serve someone the rest of your life. If you choose to ignore the offer to serve the King of which we have spoken of this morning, know for certain that a Christless eternity awaits you. Father, we are so thankful for you and your word. Your word is always true. When we struggle, you are there. When we just pray the slightest quiet prayer, you hear us from your majestic throne in heaven. You comfort our souls, but the souls of the lost are not comforted. Oh, Father, bless us today as we seek to serve you, as we seek to adjust our lives to your holiness. And we thank you for all this in the name of your matchless Son, Jesus. Amen.